Hey everybody, it's LogicBomb82 from the Mature Minded Gamers. We are a group of adult gamers who have jobs and lives, but also several passions, including video gaming and board gaming. And today we're going to bring you our board game podcast. So grab those dice and get ready to roll.
Hello everybody, Will here from Mature Minded Gamers, and tonight we're going to be talking about Tiny Epic Tactics. Tiny Epic Tactics is the newest addition to the Tiny Epic series from designer Scott Alms, published by Gameland Games. This one is hitting shelves January 2020. We got our Kickstarter copy in a bit early and wanted to dive into it. If you're not familiar with the Tiny Epic series, they are games that have a small footprint on the table but give you a big box feel. Tiny Epic Tactics is a 1-4 player game, plays in about an hour, and it features multiple game modes, from solo, cooperative, 2v2, and free-for-all. In this game, you're a set of four adventurers, a fighter, ranger, wizard, and beast, each with a unique set of skills that will help you in claiming victory for your realm. The fighter is your dual-purpose melee and range character, not the best at anything but well-rounded. The ranger is the best from a distance, but not skilled at dishing out melee damage. The wizard is more of your range support style, typically applying special effects on enemy characters. He can give you a tactical edge in battle. The beast is typically your strongest melee character, having the most health but no range attack. Now, there are exceptions to this basic explanation to character tactics, like the beast, Wilfred Hama. He can make a range attack while he was in water. Basically, he is a walrus beast that throws a spearfish at his enemies. Each character has a unique set of skills that give them each a sense of individuality, like Laothar, the fighter. After he performs a melee attack, all allies within four spaces heal one health. Nim, the ranger, can deal extra damage while attacking from a forest space. The game begins with each player randomly drawing one of each of the previously mentioned adventure types. After forming your party and depending on the game type, you deploy your adventurer on a cloth mat and 3D game board comprised of the game box itself and inserts included. Aesthetically, this looks great and reminds me of playing Final Fantasy Tactics. Anyone walking by this game will want to stop and stay for the strategic gameplay. Position is everything in Tiny Epic Tactics. Just as you may remember from other tactics games, elevation can give you a little extra range when performing a ranged attack, or give you a little added distance away from enemies' ranged attacks. It also stops melee attacks from being performed if two adventurers are on different elevations. Other terrain elements are also present on the map as well. For example, forests, which you can hide in that gives you added defense. Towns that when you travel through them replenish arrows, magic, and restore 4 health. Portals that allow you to traverse the battlefield, making no place too safe from a deadly bow. After forming your party and deploying your characters, the adventure begins. Each player has 3 actions they can perform. The actions available are move, melee attack, range attack, and lastly, magic attack. Each character in the party is allowed to take 1 action, or push themselves and take 2 separate actions, but that gives them a weaken token. This stops you from activating again in a subsequent turn unless you pay 2 health to remove the weaken token. At the end of a turn in which the weakened character took no actions, the weakened state token is removed. Let's break down each action. The move action allows you to traverse the indicated number of spaces for that character. Movement is orthogonal, never moving or measuring diagonals. Melee attack, deal the listed amount of damage on your attacks and roll an indicated number of dice for each red result. You push the enemy character 1 space, potentially dealing extra damage and even forcing them off of a cliff. Interesting enough though, according to the rulebook, falling off of a cliff or edge deals no damage. I feel this is a missed opportunity, but could be a balanced issue. Range attack, allowing a ranged character to spend an arrow resource. It's a value that is indicated on the character card, dealing that amount of damage, rolling the indicated number of dice. This time, whenever a green symbol is rolled, you must spend the number of extra arrows. If you're unable to spend enough arrows, your attack misses and no damage is dealt. Essentially, you missed your shot. The last is the magic attack. This attack costs 1 magic, again a resource on magic users. For this attack, you may spend extra magic to roll the number of dice you power up your attacks by, up to 3. Every blue symbol rolled adds additional effects based on your character's individual abilities. Another important aspect of this game is the all-important counterattack. After you attack an opponent's character, they have the option to counterattack if possible. The counterattack is a free out-of-turn attack that doesn't cost them an action, but may cost arrows or magic. Example. Your beast performs a melee attack on an enemy ranger. After rolling your dice, you push the character back 2 spaces. This does not do enough damage to capture him. The ranger is out of melee range, so cannot perform a melee reaction attack, but is within the 4 space range for a range attack. The ranger announces a counterattack and spends 1 of his 2 remaining arrows to do so. Then the ranger rolls his 2 required dice
and rolls 2 green symbols, requiring him to spend 2 arrows.
Oh man, he doesn't have 2 to spend, so his counterattack fails. If he had rolled better or had more arrows, he would have inflicted wounds and any other special effects. At the end of each turn, you draw a tactics card. These cards have game-changing effects, if-then statements that allow you to do things like heal wounds, gain movement, or even grant extra attacks. By playing the right tactics, positioning your character, and leveraging terrain elements to your advantage, it will help you in maintaining dominant control of three different control areas across the map. Maintaining that control allows the control flag to move on a scorecard. Having control in the third turn in which it moves grants you 5 victory points. You also score victory points for each of the following. Enemy characters you capture grants you 2. Characters you have that are not captured grant you 2. And each character in a town grants you 1. This is all scored at the end of the game. The Tiny Epic series hits a high note with this one, easily the best in the series. Component quality is great. The cloth mat and boxes used to make the 3D elements are well done, include a dungeon on the inside of the boxes, which are made of thick, durable cardboard. The cards are linen finished and easy to read. Tokens are good looking, but understandably small due to the small print this game has, which has the expected downsides of them sliding all over the place if you hit the table. Replayability is at an all-time high on this one because each game you are getting a random pool of adventurers with unique skills. Allowing you multiple ways to play gives this game something for everyone. So Eric, what were your thoughts on Tiny Epic Tactics?
It packs a heck of a punch in a very small footprint. I love the pieces. For the price point, the quality is very high. I mean, obviously, if you wanted to spend more money and get like metal tokens and other things, you could do that. However, for what it has and the price point that it's at, it is top notch.
I 100% agree with that. This is by far the most epic feeling Tiny Epic game that I have played. I really feel like replayability of this game mixed with the quality of the components, mixed with the actual gameplay itself and the versatility and variability is just off the charts with this. I think this is hands down. I think this is my favorite Tiny Epic game that they've put out so far.
By far, mine too. I love the interaction we had. I love the different characters. I loved how they were all different. And how many total characters were there, Will?
In the Kickstarter version that I have, I believe there are 8 of each class.
And there's 3 classes? 4 classes.
4 classes, right?
That's a ton of different characters. And they were all quite a bit different, too. Like, there were some that felt a little bit stronger, but I think it kind of depended on your play style, mostly.
I agree. I think variability of those characters is just insane. So, I mean, they didn't skip on just, oh, this character is just another ranger, going to be able to shoot. I mean, they all felt different enough that they kind of went with the theme. Like there was a monkey character who could climb, but it also can pick up as your beast. He can pick up characters and move around the map. And I thought that was really cool.
It was really neat. So that was probably one of my favorite abilities, actually.
You had high points on the peaks and you were able to shoot with your archer and your wizard anywhere across the map, which I'm sure you loved.
You know what? I mean, it was awesome to have that position, but it felt kind of powerful until you realize that you're really trying to capture points. So it's kind of a give and take. Yeah, it was great to do damage, and I killed several of your characters, but you still won. You know, maybe I shouldn't have and tried to employ that strategy.
Well, the only reason I won is because I had that one card that let me score, basically move the control flag during my turn. And if it, you know, when I moved it, I won because I was the one that moved the control flag during that, which brings us to like the tactics cards. What did you think having the tactics cards use and kind of being able to experience that and kind of play with those? Did you feel like that kind of changed and gave you a little bit more versatility beyond just the characters themselves?
It did. At first, both of mine were kind of hard to achieve, the ones that I got. But then as I drew more, I could see that there was a big variety. Some of them are much easier to get and, you know, obviously less powerful. But I did like that there was a variety. And then I also like that you only get to keep 2. So I was constantly rotating them out, you know, and one of them I realized I was never going to achieve. So I discarded it. And I liked that. It was a nice little experience to add on top of everything else.
Right. And they were easy enough to understand, just simple if then statements. If this was true, then do this, which I thought was really good because then you're not looking up in like some sort of FAQ or the rule book. I was like, well, what happens when this happens? It's just very simple to understand. This game is definitely a pickup for me. I look forward to picking up every single one of their products on Kickstarter from now on. I'm looking forward to seeing how they're going to be improving each game, getting better as they release new products. Eric, what do you think?
Definitely would pick this game up. It's a lot of fun. I think it's one of those games where you can play it 1, 2, or 3, or 4 players and have a good time no matter what, which is kind of rare to find, in my opinion. And like we talked about earlier, the quality is just out of the world. So definitely buy.
Oh, and with the replayability, it's just off the chain. So what was the score we gave this one?
We gave this one a 17 out of a D20 in our review. All right, everybody, thanks for listening to our podcast. You can check out all of our content on maturemindedgamers.com.